This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside the whole gang, Eric Siska, Christopher Cabin, and Steven Sadak.
Hi!
Bill Coleman.
Oh, yeah, that's welcome in German.
Yeah.
Nice, classing it up around here a little bit. I like that. So we are here. This is the September-ish mailbag-ish?
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's September.
It's going to be September.
Recorded in August, but,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. It's bag-ish.
An Augtember,
if you will.
An Augtember mailbag.
If you're not familiar with this, it's pretty straightforward. We're just going to read some letters that we get in the WHM mailbag. And Eric Siska, let's start it off with you.
I'm going to cut him right the fuck off.
Whoa, oh my God.
You know what? For one reason only. We're going on tour in November. So if you're listening to this in September and you're unaware of it and you're on the West Coast, you want to come check us out at WHMpodcast.com. Check out that tour tab. November the 6th, we're in San Francisco. November the 7th, we are in Portland. November the 10th, we're in L.A. So if you're in any of those places, you want to see us talk about some fun movies, check that out.
And when you go to whmpodcast.com, by the way, it's all new.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
all
yeah,
new.
It's very exciting. It's because it's the 10th season.
Yeah.
And I love it when you cut me up.
No problem. It's season 10. Gordon Ramsay. Oh, no, it's season 10. That's a season 10 move.
Right, because MasterChef this past year was there also season 10.
Yes.
We're kind of contemporaries.
Wow, neck and neck with MasterChef.
My favorite part about the season 10 on the MasterChef, so I'm going to keep talking about it.
Oh, for sure. That's what YouTube is. People like cooking.
His thing this year is just like, damn. This omelet is running. This is like a season 1 omelet. This is not a season 10 omelet.
Oh, no.
Yes, that shitty omelet would have won season 1 when we didn't give a fuck.
That's so stupid.
We were eating dog food in season 1. Now it's season 10. Human food.
Slippery slope on Gordon Ramsay here because that delegitimizes like all these other master chefs. I thought it was an important label.
Exactly.
Nope.
On season 1 master chef, like, oh, fuck you too, dude.
Yeah.
I think that goes for a lot of those shows, though, because, like, think about, does anyone care about the first Top Chef?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
Wasn't that just at a bar in Miami? Was that even on TV?
I think it was on
TV. You, Paul, you're the Top Chef.
Look, you got an olive and a lime.
No, that was...
Do what you will.
That was just a porno movie you saw.
Oh, okay.
It was about a top...
You'd move to your right a little bit, so your beautiful visage isn't obscured by the stupid microphone arm. Yeah, that's actually better. Yeah, there you go. So, Eric Siska, start us off with this first email.
Welcome back to WHM Almost Got Me Killed.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, gang. I work the night shift at a hotel where there are no cameras. No other employees but myself, meaning I could do pretty much whatever I want.
Oh my God, is this Norman Bates?
Great interpretation of Bruto from Mindhunter.
Assuming drunk assholes leave me alone.
Hey, don't leave me alone, you drunk assholes.
I gotta do what I want, and I can't do what I want if you're here, asshole.
All right, I'll go back to him. Human voice. It's pretty sweet to get paid to watch movies or read books most of the night. I also listen to podcasts while preparing breakfast, cleaning the lobby, and filing various hotel paperwork.
Mm. Wait, this dude's also the guy preparing the breakfast, by the way?
That's a little weird.
All right.
I would just say tell this dude to stay at room 237.
Oh. Ooh.
you know what I'm saying?
I see what you did there.
You see what I'm doing
there? Yep.
That's where the... So the granny shaggers go. Which makes Monday nights my most anticipated shift of the week, since I know there will be a new episode of WHM to listen to later. So with that said, earlier this morning around 4:30, I was listening to your live episode on Knowing, when the urge to urinate struck. So I abandoned the hotel kitchen. Oh, come on, Gibbons. You're not supposed to leave the desk like that.
It's pancakes, not urinal cakes, okay?
Ooh, man. Yeah, that's probably... No, they don't taste good. They look like they taste good. Urinal cakes?
In your basket, you've got urinal cakes.
Eric's right, though. I've always, right? Like, you look at those.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
I kind of just want to, like, take a bite into it. You know it's poison.
I got to say, I noticed you changed your little bath, your toilet water. You got the tropical flush going on in there.
Got the tropical flush. We go on and off with the tropical flush in this house, and it's been out of circulation for way too long, and Chelsea bought a new one, and I was like, fuck yeah, tropical flush. Classing this place up a little bit.
That is a season 10 toilet. Yeah. None of this season 1 shit.
Come on!
I'm ready. I'm waiting for the wild berry flush.
Oh, you know what? Purple in the toilet would look nice.
Purple in the toilet would look pretty sweet. Yeah. Green isn't too bad either.
That's true.
You can go make your own.
Oh, the dough cooler?
The sour flush.
Yeah. Oh, atomic sour flush.
St. Patty's Day edition. all right, where was I? This guy was peeing and he ran away. Okay, so banned to the hotel kitchen and hurried to the lobby bathroom. All this time, I'm still listening to the podcast with one earbud in. I'm standing at the urinal when I notice the bathroom stall is shut and a man is sitting on the other side taking an extremely loud and violent shit.
Oh, wow. That shit was beating him up. It got violent.
I say violent because the man kept groaning in pain, saying loudly, wait, groaning in pain, and I say loudly, why do you think? Is this just editorial?
And I say loud because why do you think?
Like, why do you think, man? It's loud in there.
All right, because he's the bang, bang, bang.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Poop, poop, poop.
Oh, because the use of loud, like a sentence and a half ago.
This shit doesn't have a megaphone. It's just,
attention, toilet. We're about to drop into your area.
Coming down.
Incredibly violent, incredibly close, incredibly loud. Isn't that book that nobody likes?
Yeah, the Jonathan Safran Foer.
No, people like that book. They didn't like that movie.
Yeah. The movie is horrid.
Anyway, I try my best to ignore this man as he deals with his own misery and continues to urinate. I focus on the podcast in my earbud, only to hear Eric refer to internet people as webheads, which immediately forces me to let out an unexpected laugh in the middle of an otherwise unfunny bathroom. You know, have you guys ever laughed while you pissed? That kind of, I once sneezed and it like, I had to sit down for a month.
Oh yeah, no, it's just, that'll freak you right out.
Right? And then you got to clean everything up.
And then you were just covered in it.
Oh yeah. Completely covered.
I don't think I've ever chuckled or laughed, but I have suppressed laughter a lot when I am next to somebody who's really going for it, especially at like work or something. You're in the work bathroom and someone's like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh, and it's just like,
it's the groans. It's always the groans because they are so animated.
Doing
like
their little
and stuff like that. Like you're just like, please don't do this.
You know those
me.
Guys are dropping little pellet shits probably.
You never had like a chuckle piss though? Like if I go to the bathroom.
Maybe
like
a light.
Like
know.
Let's say, like theoretically, I'm smoking weed.
Gotcha.
Sometimes if I'm like laughing about something, I'll take it into the bathroom with me and the fun doesn't stop. And I'm just laughing about whatever dumb thing
but
I was laughing
it's
about.
It's dangerous because then stream is like.
Oh, I have
it's
laughed.
It's so crazy. You're shaking all the cameras.
That's just fucking pissing and laughing.
I have laughed at the sight of my own penis. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
By the way, that is our opening act in San Francisco, Portland, and Los Angeles. We are... showing dicks anyway.
All right, here we go.
Yes, back to showing regular dicks. Here we go. All right. He's laughing in the bathroom. The man in the stall obviously assumes I'm laughing at his situation.
Well, yeah.
And shouts, hey, fuck you, buddy. I'll break your fucking jaw.
I had 5 bags of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Where do you think this is?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just picturing a guy like trying to wrestle another guy with like a half a log coming at you. Anyway, something out of like Borat.
Shuffling out of the stall.
If you're going to beat somebody up while you're taking a shit, at least pinch it off before
you
strike
pinch
the first
and wipe,
blow.
Real quick. Pinch and wipe.
But you don't know what's going to come.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, I mean, bathrooms are complicated. I say avoid any interaction.
In the heat of battle, you could be taking a shit anywhere. I mean,
heat
really.
Battle. Yeah,
the Spartans in 300 in real life were just all like huddling and shitting.
It is honorable to go after someone while shitting. That is called cloth croc on Klingon.
Big cloth crap.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Okay,
come fight me, Worf, if you can, while you shit.
I will piss. Star Trek Klingons present Bathroom Fight. I will piss and laugh at you, Worf.
Oh, you do not fight. Oh, you don't fight while shitting anymore. The Federation has changed you, Worf.
What do you think a Klingon bathroom looks like?
Oh, it's a trough.
Yeah.
Two Klingons, one cup.
Oh my god.
I don't know. Do you think? I guess if you know, humans have definitely eaten their own shit.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a shit hungry Klingon maniac at the
question. You go in, and I'm going to do this because we're videotaping here.
Sure.
You go into the bathroom, right?
All right. Yeah. Please demonstrate.
You're a Klingon. Right. I guess you just take that sash off. And you got a little hook for your
there's
your
a hook, yeah, much like head. Much like our coat racks, or like just, the coat hook in a stall.
Just take that off, and then there you go.
Mayor McCheese does the same thing.
Oh, I forgot he's got a sash.
Yeah, it's
oh, you think he's
sharp.
Ever used it? Like, he's just in a situation, he's like, oh, man, GP is out, he doesn't want to run to the bathroom.
Oh, he
kitchen.
Wiped with his own sash? Oh, yeah, that's
flushed
possible.
Flushed it and clogged the toilet, and that's why those McDonald's toilets are always locked.
Meanwhile, Grimace is just a walk and plop guy.
Grimace is like the Cottonelle Bears.
Yeah, like he's just shitting and walking. I'm
yeah,
saying.
But he's got fur, so he's like getting it all
does
in
he
there.
Have fur?
Yeah, he's furry.
So those bears, those commercials are always about like, I've got shit all over me.
Pretty
man.
Much. Yeah, that's pretty much they're Cottonelle's
heinous.
Ad campaign. Yeah.
Heinous.
Is it Cottonelle?
I think it's Cottonelle.
Yeah.
Might be wrong.
They should all... Northern?
I think it's Cottonelle.
Okay.
And they should all end with them just going into a lake. Just yeah. lake yes, and totally. Like shaking your butt in the lake, get
and
it
my
all
hide is clean.
Yeah. And it could be a thing where it's like Cottonelle for when you don't have a lake at your disposal.
Oh. Cottonelle, we can't do everything.
Honey, we bought the lake house to jump in there after we shit.
Cottonelle, wash your ass. That's the slogan.
Instead of apology, wait, hold on a second. The anger in his voice sent fear through my entire body.
As it should.
Instead of apologizing, I quickly zipped up, flushed, washed my hands, and fled the bathroom. I appreciate that he washed his hands.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I would skip it.
He's at work.
Too
employees
many people,
must wash hands.
Too many people skip it, I gotta say.
In a violent situation, mm-hmm. I got fucking Jack Torrance coming after me.
When I worked in an office, so many of the dudes there would just flat out wash their hands. Oh. And then suddenly, like, they bring in, like, mac and cheese from the potluck. I'm like, I'm not fucking touching that. And then they're just like, what's wrong? Not hungry?
You should have called them out. You should have been like, no, because I fucking saw you in the bathroom after lunch. And you didn't fucking wash your hands, Derek.
And that means you never do it.
That's true.
That is very true. But I didn't call them out because I'm a coward.
Okay,
fair
sure.
enough.
I made it back behind the desk just as the guest exited the bathroom, looking around the lobby for the bathroom giggler.
Is that a Batman villain?
Yeah, it's one of the low tier ones.
Early Joker days, he didn't quite have it. How about the bathroom giggler?
Robin, he's laughing at my shit.
I can't believe no one's taking me seriously. I'm the bathroom giggler.
Love that shit.
Tell the mayor no one can use a public restroom in Gotham.
Flush.
He gave up. I got a cup of coffee and then approached the front desk and checked out. The whole time he kept giving me a look that he knew it was me. And I kept giving him the look that I was hoping he wouldn't murder me.
Well, I'm the only other one in here. It's got to be one of us.
I'm waiting for you in the parking lot, Derek.
Just speeds off in a Camaro.
Oh, yeah, dude.
FYI, he did not murder me.
All right.
Have you ever laughed at a movie? This is an interesting transition. Have you ever laughed at a movie or anything else totally innocent, only to have it be misinterpreted as something very inappropriate? If so... what were the consequences? Thanks for the constant entertainment. That's true, but it is also countless. Look at that Patreon. If you ever come back to Central Texas, I'll let you stay at the hotel under my associate discount.
I like that.
Max, thank you,
Not
Max.
If people are going to be laughing at me in the bathroom. What? Did I ever laugh? And it, the laughter was misinterpreted. I don't know about misinterpreted, but I just the other night I was out walking the dog. Hi. Mm-hmm. And this woman, kind of like one of the local sidewalk people.
Local sidewalk. <Ooh. laughs> It's a good description.
It's a small neighborhood. You know all of them.
Yeah, sure, sure.
She's walking down the street and she's got a huge like Burger King soda cup. And the dog is kind of like sniffing a fence right as she's walking. And I think she didn't see the dog, you know. And the dog didn't do anything. She just kind of like looked up. But the mere sight of a dog, I guess, like frightened her. And she just went, ah! And like she stopped walking, but the soda cup did not. And it went flying and just hit the sidewalk and like seltzer went everywhere. And she just goes, oh, fuck. And I know it's terrible, but sure. I just fucking started laughing and I had to get out of there. I was the fucking sidewalk giggler, dude. I had to go.
Robin, it's the sidewalk giggler.
So I was just laughing at homeless people. It's just me.
I was walking. It's not, again, it's a misinterpretation, but I definitely should not have been laughing at this. I was walking down the stairs coming back from a movie at the 68th Street Theater. And I was behind this guy for like two or three blocks. At one point, like very suddenly, he goes to the side of the sidewalk where there's grate and vomits like right into the grate. And I just start, I burst out laughing. I can't help myself. I'm like, oh God. Oh.
Yeah. That's
poor
great.
Fella.
I don't really have a good one, but I remember my former boss, like one day at the office, he was just like, you know, last night I went to the Ed Sheeran concert and I just started laughing. It was not a good scene. Thankfully, his children were involved and it wasn't just him going, yeah.
I think I'm almost positive I told this in the air before, but I'll just say it now real quick. As I got fired from my first job from laughing.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
This is a Steve Sadak classic.
Yes. I worked at a bagel store. My first job in high school, whilst I was in high school, I worked at a bagel store making bagels in the morning. I wasn't very good at it. I was late a little bit. I was a
never wash your hands.
No, never wash.
No, never. As a matter of fact, he wiped with his hands.
He wiped with bagel dough.
I was a little too slow during the rush. Like literally, this thing was not working out well. But you know, it's going along. It's me and a couple other people, and the boss was trying to get something from on top of a shelf.
Fuck. You worked with the bagel boss?
I did not work with the bagel boss. I'm taller than the bagel boss, I'm pretty sure.
The fuck you say? We're going to make a guitar out of cream cheese on this bagel.
That guy's a fucking scumbag.
Bagel boss? Yeah, that dude stinks.
Like, I just hate that he's like somewhat famous-ish
now. Oh, that guy. I was thinking of Cake Boss and it's just the bagel boss.
No. Bagel boss, dude. Yeah. Is Bagel Boss, did I see right? Bagel Boss is involved in some sort of like F grade celebrity boxing?
Yes, he is.
Really? That's great.
I think he might be running for president. It's all sure.
Happening. Wow. No, hey, prayers for the end of $1 Million Baby for that guy, dude.
But really quickly, he's trying to reach for something on the top shelf. The floor is totally slick because it's like a bakery, so there's a lot of like actual legit breadcrumbs all over the place.
Sure.
And he slips and he falls.
Yeah.
Like, I give a good little laugh there.
Not are you laughing like Danny DeVito? What was that?
Sort of. And I give him a good little laugh and he gets up. He's like, when you don't have a job next week, we'll see if you laugh. And I was like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was way back when I was off the books. He's paying me in cash. He's like, all right, here's like $90 and you don't come back anymore. And I was like, that's what we're doing.
Oh, so you actually meant.
Yes.
I see.
I'm fired. Okay.
But it worked
good
out,
to know.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
You're fine.
I'm doing okay. Yeah.
You landed on your feet all these years later. Chris Cabin.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Frank Vincent, RIP.
Ooh.
The best.
It doesn't say RIP.
No, it does not, but I'm saying RIP because he was great.
Well, then you should say RIPD.
RIPD. I'm sorry, Eric. Are you going to get over it?
Clearly he's not.
So. Yeah, he's going to stew for a while here. In the early to mid-90s, I was working as a bartender in a restaurant that was located in a historically designated train station in New Jersey. The restaurant, I'm sorry, it says NJ, New Jersey. I'm sorry, Eric. You're
going to
blow your top. The restaurant was formerly a nightclub, and we were early in the days of changing the image of the place to that of a dinner club. I'm still not sure what a dinner club is.
Nightclub versus dinner club?
I think that's an older fashioned term. I don't think
Well, then what's a supper club?
That's similarly.
Right. I think it's like cocktails and racism.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I think a supper club is something that where somebody comes and cooks for you in your house. You get like a group of people together.
What?
Oh, that's really? Insane.
And then you join hands and you do like a seance.
Yeah, it's exactly. Rosemary's Baby shit.
Well, the next sentence explains exactly what a dinner club is. Just read what this description is and you'll get it.
The owner had several bands through, mostly playing standards. Frank Sinatra, Bob Darin, Dean Martin.
So that it's a dinner club.
So it is cocktails and racism.
It's cocktails and racism. It's a place I'd never want to go life. No. Yep.
One night, as we were setting up for dinner and a few of the regulars off the train were at the bar, the band for the night started bringing their equipment in.
John at the bar is a friend of mine.
What are you doing here?
And he's only playing at a dinner club.
I was in the middle of writing a real estate novel because I was a real estate novelist, as many people are.
As everybody knows. The other bartender and I didn't pay attention to them. After a few minutes, I noticed that one of the bar flies pointing and excitedly talking to another guy at the bar. I look to see what he is pointing at, but can't see anything notable. Uh-oh. Just the guy setting up their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon after, the dude who was pointing goes up to where the band is setting up, talks to one of the band members for a few minutes, hands him a napkin, and gets an autograph.
Oh, shit.
I was very confused because the bands that we had come in, while good, were not real autograph caliber bands. that's Marcy's Playground's coming in. The band finished their setup, played about a minute of a song, made some adjustments, and came down to the bar to get their drinks. Now, my interest is piqued. Who is this autograph seeker worthy person? Of course, he stops to talk to someone else. I'm a bit frustrated at this point. He's just far enough away that I can't really see his face. And just
how big is this restaurant?
You got to have a band, all these cocktail tables.
I guess
pretty
that's
big.
True, yeah. Is this just the place from Goodfellas?
It might actually yeah.
All right.
And then he kissed me.
doesn't say that, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. Really sees his face and just looks like a white-haired guy in a sharp suit. So I asked the guy who got the
article. Girls go crazy for a white-haired guy in a sharp suit. Bow, now,
now, now. Please get out of the studio.
I, too, was reminded of ZZ Top. Stayed quiet.
So I asked the guy who got the autograph who it is. The guy tells me, it's fucking Billy Bats, man.
Yikes.
Billy Batman? That was this. Hi, Billy Batman.
Billy Batman? Is that another Batman? I've heard a lot of Batmans.
My name's Billy Batman.
Yeah, he's from Shelbyville.
Is it like Nightwing? Oh, I'm really excited here. I was trying to process the information the guy was giving me. I wasn't thinking character names. The gentleman starts walking to the bar, and as I'm looking at him, the realization of what Barfly was telling me sinks in. Holy shit, Frank Vincent is playing drums in this band.
Playing drums.
He definitely sees the recognition on my face. Mr. Vincent comes up to me and asks for a vodka and tonic, I think.
Fine. Nobody cares.
I get his drink using Top Shelf. I'm not stupid. He thanks me and tells me to keep an eye on his drink, get him a new one when he's low, and to not let the ice cubes melt while I'm bringing it to him.
Wow. Oh, man. You know what? Yeah. That's just about enough of that.
Listen, you use your superpowers to keep that thing cold the whole time, okay?
The whole notion of, like, never let my drink get low. You fucking scumbags.
Yeah. What an asshole.
R.I.P. by the way. Rest in peace for this gentleman.
But also, in general.
Here's to all my Billy Bats.
Not just Frank Vincent doing this, but like anyone who's like, don't let it get low. Don't let the ice cubes melt. Fucking suck it.
That's the right answer because it's old Italian men. Always. Yes. Like every time in this service situation, an old guy, hey, come here, kid. And because they're only going to be like $40 at the end, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
But it's never worth it.
No, never. Plus, having to hear all those racist jokes.
Yeah, there's also that.
I wonder if they got ice in hell.
It's possible. I politely laugh and tell them that I will. I initially...
yeah, yep.
That's good. Hey, Vincent. I initially think that this is funny, believing that he was putting on the facade of one of his gangster characters. That was until he stopped to talk to the guy who asked for his autograph. I moved toward the end of the bar to listen in on their conversation. After a moment, the guy sitting next to the autograph seeker chimes in with, Are you going to play that old man shit all night tonight?
Ooh.
Mr. Vincent replies with, kid, if you ever say something stupid to me like that again, I'll shove you back in your mother's vagina.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a threat. You're going to get unbirthed by Frank Vincent.
But I like the idea that they wouldn't, like, he wouldn't play the old shit. Like, he's going to suddenly do, like, Spin Doctors.
Yeah, totally.
Now for this next one, you may have heard of it. It's called Little Miss.
Oh, you asked for it again. Okay, Mrs. Ellis, I need you to come down here. I need to put your son back up in your vagina.
Listen, sweetheart, you lay back. It's going to be fine. I'm carrying through on a threat.
It's like a turducken of some kind. like a cannibal, like Hannibal. Like if Hannibal
yes.
had Thanksgiving,
right.
yes, sure.
he would put a man inside his mother's vagina.
All right.
Put the cat, up the guy's butt.
Oh. Right.
And then it's really coming together.
Totally. Yes, Will. Thank you for coming to my Thanksgiving party. It's me and the Chesapeake Bay area's most popular serial killers. There are a lot of us on this show.
I mean, it's like everybody.
Most people are serial killers.
I-95, serial killer.
Your butcher, serial killer. Hairdresser, serial killer.
And this is just my friend who's a serial killer because he eats a lot of Cheerios.
It was then that I knew more often than not, Mr. Vincent was just playing an exaggerated version of himself in his movies.
Right.
Needless to say.
In movies that he's in. He's not.
His movies.
It's not a Frank Vincent movie.
No. that's a good point.
Needless to say, I did my best to not let his ice cubes melt in his drink, and Mr. Vincent's tab seemed to get lost on the nights he played at our restaurant. He's a generous tipper.
That's how that goes.
All right.
Always how that goes.
Yep. Have you guys ever encountered a celebrity that's really only a slightly exaggerated version of themselves on screen? Hugs and kisses, Harry in Indianapolis. P.S. You guys should come to Indianapolis sometimes. It's decent.
He put that ellipses in. Yeah. Chris Cabin did not invent that ellipses.
Are you okay, Eric? Should I have said ellipses?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry then.
But I think I would like to go to Indianapolis sometime to play a show.
Yeah.
Why not? Also, you could drive to Chicago. We're there a lot.
Celebrities that were basically themselves.
Slight diversion, because I don't really have that story, but I did.
Yeah.
I was an altar boy for a long time. Not for a long time.
The priest
was
very much himself.
You would clean in the Bronx, obviously, and there would be a lot of old Italian Catholic funerals. You would clean the fuck up.
Really?
In tips.
Oh, right.
Some old uncle. You did a good job with it. You did a beautiful job with this service. Let's send her off okay. And it'll always be the money is here, the clasp in it.
You're
doing a great job for you. You,
I thought you were just taking it out of like the tip that goes around the jar.
not the collection you take. No. The real, give me a kid out. You guys did a beautiful job on that service. Thank you so much.
I'm a little light today. Here's a bag of my mother's sauce.
Sauce?
It would be gravy.
Gravy.
By the way.
Apologies.
I don't know. Celebrities that are like themselves. Edward Norton plays a lot of douchebags. He was a douchebag in person.
I saw Emeril Lagasse at a hotel bar in Beverly Hills.
Ooh. Yeah.
And he was just sitting there like a frog struggling to breathe.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't believe it. Like, he was just like, oh.
Just like,
it seemed like a bad day.
Just like he is on TV.
That's true. Yeah.
A little bit.
Looks like a big toad.
I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, that's the problem. Emeril comes in. He wants to get a salad. And they're like, ooh, it's Emeril Lagasse. He loves spicy food.
Yep.
And they're like, here you go. Free of charge, Emeril. Here's fucking 20 frog's legs.
Yeah, totally. He's like, my hemorrhoids will bleed after this. I just want that salad.
And then he clasped those frog legs and put them in my hand.
just for you, kids.
Frog legs? Those are my brethren, kids.
Right, yeah. I think he's part frog.
Listen, I don't want my mom to go to hell. Here's $20 for you. I have to give that to the priest.
Just covering all my bases.
Kent, well, you're part of the clergy. Can you get this to the river man at the River Styx, please? Thank you.
All right. What's the next one here? We are reading.
We are talking about perfect specimens. Also, I want to just really quickly This is a Nathan Hamill original T-shirt.
Wait, let me get on your camera here. Steve.
Can you
Hang
touch
on.
Your nipple again? You
I touch can touch my
there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
That's
Nathan
that's
Hamill
what
original.
It there it is.
It's on Threadless. You should check it out.
That there it is.
Friend of the show. Great T-shirt. I look okay in it. The shirt looks great. The shirt looked great on you.
Yes. Now no one's gonna buy it because they saw it on you. Like,
wait. Are they all worn by him? Does he wear them before they get to me? Oh no!
Great.
Oh
now,
no!
Now Nathan's business has been bankrupted because you touched your
I
nipple
like
on a camera.
The idea that Nathan would send all of his shirts to Steve, he would put them on, and then they'd ship them out.
Oh, definitely pre-worn, dude. That's
what do you think those tags? It's like. Inspected by 40
oh, right. Yeah,
because they're putting them on and being like it's a shirt and then taking it off. You gotta check to make sure it's a shirt.
That's right? True.
It's a shirt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect specimens. Speaking of,
right,
hey guys, I was catching up on older mailbag episodes and was struck by an email. By the way, on that WHM podcast, we've got the mailbags listed out now. If you want to just that's a
on
great,
the website
whmpodcast.com. It's a great way. Yeah. Everything's like sectionized. The beautiful website.
Yeah, we finally updated it. So yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting.
We're very excited. I was catching up on older mailbag episodes, and I was struck by an email from a listener whose ex followed her to college.
Oh, right.
Who followed her to college, waited outside for her classes for her, and ultimately gave her lice. I do remember that. It brought back memories of my own experience with a suitor turned stalker who... To his credit, at least never gave me lice.
Oh, that's good.
It started the first day of high school when a guy approached me after one of my classes with, "Hey, you Italian?"
Because I only date inside, you know, my blood.
That man was Frank Vincent.
Look, I have the blood test kit right here. We can do all of it right here.
Are you Italian? Oh, thanks so much. Doing a great job. You Italian?
Yeah. All right, that's two parts oregano, one part garlic. Yeah, you're Italian.
Which he had correctly deduced from hearing a teacher stumble through my four-syllable first name during roll call. It turned out to be he was also Italian, obviously. Since we were in a small town in Central Florida, it wasn't too common to run into Italians who weren't related to you. He walked me to my next class, talking about how being new in town, an Italian, and not much else. So your mom sure serves a lot of spaghetti sometimes. She certainly does.
So you hate the Irish as much as I do.
You maybe bring more? Meatballs to lunch as well. I don't eat this stuff here, just meatballs.
Just meatballs.
Just remembering how in The Wedding Singer when Adam Sandler's getting paid in meatballs for doing the piano lessons.
That was great. Disgusting.
He walked me around. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember exactly where he'd moved from, but his accent indicated his last known address to be a Staten Island dump. But he was actually pretty cute with a Karate Kid vibe that extended beyond a speech pattern. All right, all right. So at first,
LaRusso Latelli?
Yeah. So I flirted back enthusiastically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, all right. Even though we had one class together, it became his habit to wait outside each of my classes to walk me to my next one. Every class, every day.
Wow, that's just like instantly your property.
Yes, exactly.
All right, I'm going to dial 9-1. Yeah. Then when I leave the lecture hall, 1 again.
It got old fast. Besides our heritage, we had nothing in common, but it didn't deter him from talking nonstop. I quickly gave up on the flirting and... soon quit answering him altogether, but it made no difference. He'd talk under the side of my face as I power walked through the halls with my eyes glued straight ahead for fear of an incidental eye contact.
Yikes, man.
Since he had caught me so early in the school year, I hadn't made enough friends yet to afforded me many opportunities to escape his constant attention, and I became terrified that I would never be rid of him.
Ugh.
After what seemed like a million days in a row of this, one night my older sister was at the local gym and while on the treadmill was interrupted by the greeting, "Hey, you Tony's sister?"
Holy tits.
This is like some fucking killer workout shit, dude. Like, yeah.
Totally. This definitely happened at Rhonda's workout.
And Tony... It, Tony with an I, by the way. And that now leads me to believe the force. It's an Antoinetta situation.
Yeah.
That's Antoinetta. Like a yeah. I just have to count on my fingers. But
no, dude. That's
there
a,
it is.
That's a Bronx special.
Steven Sadek, Italian name detective.
All right. Now everyone's got to slip him a 20.
She turned to see her tormentor, who she never officially met, but knew of him from my stories and had probably seen me trailing all throughout school. He started prattling on at her, which she attempted to ignore until he said, I don't know what your sister's problem is. You girls should be dating Italian guys. And she's got a perfect specimen right here.
Oh,
dude.
Was this dude's name The Situation?
That guy went to jail like a couple of times, I think. Like,
I think he's in jail right now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it was like taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always taxes.
No, really, I'm a perfect specimen. The doctors said I was. Made in a lab.
Look, I don't want to get into phrenology or nothing.
I was perfect for the experiment he was doing. I'm the great middle of a human centipede.
I got the thickness for it and the head of hair.
The robust, garlicky center of a human centipede.
Human centipede. Stay tuned.
All right, Eep.
My sister's version of the story ends with her guffawing in his face, but I've always wondered if there was more to it. Perhaps she followed up with a stern warning to lay off, or maybe getting open mouth laughed at in public from a pretty girl from his school was enough. But whatever she did worked, because he never talked to me again after that.
Wow.
It's been 20 years, and I have never dated an Italian guy. In fact, I took the Mrs. Siska route and partnered myself with Eric, with an Eric with blonde hair and a surname that matches the drapes. Good Lord. Thank you for the many hours of laughs. Tony from Vegas. Tony from Vegas, by the way.
Wow, man, that's something.
I stole an Italian girl from the perfect specimen as well.
So that's how they go.
My wife is Italian.
Well, that's the thing, is they get... I'm pretty sure a lot of Italian women get really tired of Italian men really quickly. Yeah. Now, and, you know, teach their own. I'm a bit of Italian. I know a lot of people in my family are
Italian.
A lot
of people get sick of you.
A lot of people get sick of me.
So,
did you guys ever stalk anyone?
I did not.
Okay, no. That's good to hear.
Never stalked anyone, never been stalked.
No one ever wanted to stalk me, obviously.
Would have been soon enough, Eric.
I will say, though, my sister would be the person to go to bat for the family. She's, like, a little bit shorter than I am, which is really tiny, but a terrifying, intense person.
Yeah.
And she would, like, one time there was a kerfuffle at the orthodontist with my other sister. She came home upset, and my sister called up this orthodontist's office.
Oh, really?
And it was a fucking... to end it all was just, like...
They closed the practice after that phone call?
they had to. It was just like, where do you get off? How do you treat people like this? Where were you raised? Like,
whoa,
it's like that. It's like that kind of shit. Just beautiful stuff.
Which one am I reading?
Sex Ed with Transformers?
You can do either one.
All right. Sex Ed with the Transformers. Hey, WHM gang, longtime listener, first-time emailer, been waiting to send you this little story for a while, so here goes nothing. It was the year of our Lord, 2007. Nancy Pelosi was elected the first female Speaker of the House. Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone. The Departed was winning every award ever made. But most importantly, Michael Bay's Transformers was released. Being much younger at the time than I am now, that's what happens when 12 years goes by, I was sufficiently...
Years are passing.
I was sufficiently uninformed in all areas of critical analysis of movies, but I loved me some Transformers. I didn't get to see it in theaters. Well, I guess you didn't love them that much. But eventually it started showing regularly on cable, and it became a staple of my household that I would watch whenever it was playing. My God!
That's a lot of Transformers.
That's a lot. A lot of Transformers.
Sam Witwicky, you should have seen me in the theater!
Sam Witwicky, you consider yourself such a fan of my people.
My people.
Oh, the Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, are you a Transformer?
You should be dating other Transformers. You have the perfect specimen right here.
Hey, does your trunk turn into a butt?
Definitely does.
Got junk in it.
Why are you saying that from my four-syllable first name? Optimus Suckett.
Optimus Amante.
They chopped it off at Ellis Island, Sam Witwicky.
Ellis Island was a real chop shop.
Oh, shit.
Yes, it was... they also converted my exhaust port.
Someone stole my bumper.
It was Primo, but they turned it into Prime.
Oh, Italian Transformers. That's fucking great.
You should have my mother's motor oil. My mother's motor oil is better than the motor oil you can get.
I'm picturing like a little Ferrari with a babushka on.
Pardon me, I've been away from the home too long. I meant gravy. My mother's gravy.
Ma, I'm not hungry. Ma, I'm not. Put it back. I do not need an oil tick. Mother, no, ma.
Unleaded gravy.
You know what, Ma? It is fine that they have their own parade. We don't have to have anything to do with it.
Oh. Here's my great-grandmother, a bicycle that's racist.
She was in the Bicycle Thieves.
All right. At some point, I came across the movie on DVD, decided I needed it, and came to own it. So I could watch it even more than I already was. My God. One night, I was watching the movie with my mother, who had never seen it before. I'm sure that was a magical night for her. There's a particular scene where Shia LaBeouf's character is frantically searching around his room. His parents burst into the room to find an uncomfortably sweaty Shia. To this, the mother character asks, "What are you doing? Were you masturbating?"
Da, da, da.
The scene was either not in the TV version or the scene was edited, and having not remembered it, I laughed, then looked over at my horrified, very Christian mother and asked, "What's masturbating?"
Oh, come on, kid.
Just let it go.
Figure it out later.
Look it up later. We had the internet in 2007.
Go to school. Be like, yo.
Go to school to masturbate.
No, to find out what it is.
It's eating really fast. Good night.
It's when you don't pray enough.
To this, my mother promptly replied, "Go ask your father." Classic parenting move.
Oh, no, I have to go to church now and go to confession. I have to attend 20 Hail Marys.
I can never fit inside the confessional garage.
Meet my cousin, Bumblebino.
Maybe the Pope's a Transformer, too.
He could be.
Oh, that's
the Pope Mobile.
The Pope. Oh, shit.
Dude, if the Pope just turned into his own car,
drove away.
When I did, and I proceeded to sit and received a long, lengthy, detailed sexual education I had neither asked for,
Jesus,
nor was ready for. Holy shit.
I want to know if there are props.
Any stories about uncomfortable conversations brought about by movies? Love the show. Thanks for all the laughs. And keep up the good work. P.S. I was going to call this letter, "Michael Bay taught me about masturbation, but I wasn't ready for that defamation lawsuit." Quinn.
A lot of people learn to masturbate from Michael Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had that video.
What video?
How
a
to.
Fake video. An instructional video? Oh, that's great.
The film
Jack,
Bad Boys.
Jack.
Not for me, because I never watched anything with my parents. I never asked my parents anything like that. I figured it all out on my own with the help of the internet.
I remember my dad, we were watching The Prince of Tides, of all things.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was just... My parents are divorced. Sunday night, whatever was on HBO, we're watching at my dad's house. And it was Prince of Tides. And there's a scene where I think Nick Nolte's crooked mother goes up to him and his sister and various, I think it's just the two of them, maybe there's three.
Yeah.
And she each on her deathbed says, "You were my favorite," this, that, and the other thing. To which my dad had to stop the movie and be like, "I want you guys to know, I don't have any favorites." And I'm like, "Yeah, I hope not." This is not the fucking Prince of Tides over here, dude. Like, it's fine.
You're watching The Prince of Tides with us. Clearly, none of us are your favorite.
I will say I had one of these.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind when this story happened, I was fully aware of what masturbation was and what happened.
Sure.
In the whole scenario.
You were practicing at that point?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
It was,
but you
around,
knew, like, before, during,
yeah,
and after?
Yeah. This was, okay, like, I was, like, 11, 12-ish. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the car with my dad and my two best friends at the time. Sorry.
And who starts masturbating?
I did. No.
Real Palm Pilot.
Thank you, Eric.
Backseat driver.
They're in the back. My best friends are in the back seat.
Sure.
And okay. One of them makes a joke, like, oh, what were you jagging on, or something like that. Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
And classic, then.
Classic comment, by the
my
way.
My dad, having the world's worst sense of humor, just turns and says, you know what that is, right?
Oh, man.
And he's like, you play with your penis and stuff comes out.
What? Why?
Remember to hit the like button below on this YouTube video.
What happened then?
Hey, you know what that is, right?
Stuff comes out.
They were wordless in the back
seat. Of course.
Pink with laughter, like barely hold, like they clearly were trying to roar, but like their throats hurt because they were laughing so hard.
Oh my God.
And I am just shrinking in the seat, holding myself. It was horrid. Horrid experience.
Well, I can't top that. You just set a piano on fire. No. I mean, I didn't really have anything. My parents didn't believe in
masturbation.
The rating systems and stuff. So we'd watch whatever you wanted, and my parents would frequently watch movies with us that were very much not suitable for children, but there was never like, you never asked,
yes.
And they never told.
Nope.
It was just like understood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'll go to your room later and your fucking stuff will come out.
Uh-huh. I totally agree. That's always the move. It was the deal. My family too. Like we'd watch like PG-13 R's as they came. Not cruising specifically.
Yeah,
to
it's Al Pacino on cruising. Yeah.
No, but like, you know, there would be sex stuff or whatever. And I was just like, okay, I'm not going to talk about that. We're all Catholic. We're all living in shame anyway. So,
exactly. all right. Do we have one more?
One.
One more email here.
You, Eric, wanted.
Wanted in theaters. Hi, WHM guys. In my 20s, I picked up my share of bad movie-going experiences, so when you guys did an episode on Wanted, I felt like it was worth mentioning that I not only saw it in the theaters, but it was the worst theater-going experience I ever had.
Wow.
One day after work, I went to the AMC 34th Street, Street 14. This
That's one of the worst theaters in New York City.
It's terrible. Can I say really quickly, I was there recently for a Warner Brothers trade screening of the fucking horrendously bad Blinded by the Light. And I had to sit there, watch this awful movie in where, to tell you everything that this movie is, because you shouldn't see it, two Pakistani kids defeat a bunch of English skinhead racists in a mall food court by singing Bruce Springsteen at them.
Yep. Sure.
That's that movie. I had to watch that entire movie in the middle of fucking July when the air conditioning was broken.
Ooh.
Dude, the only thing worse than watching a bad movie in a theater is watching it when you're fucking sweating your sack off.
So they stole the ending of Green Room then.
I will say all of 34th Street west of... All 34th Street in general, just steer clear of.
It's awful.
It smells terrible. It's awful.
Only go there if you have to go see something at the Garden.
Yeah.
Otherwise, get the hell out of there.
And like anything, like 8th Avenue, that whole area, like going up to Times Square,
nope.
to
Ugh.
Penn Station, you just want to kill yourself.
Death.
I saw Alita Battle Angel there, and good movie, bad theater. I recently went to the AMC Empire in Times Square.
Yeah.
Awful, too.
It's bad.
It's really gone downhill. I can't believe it. Like, it used to be kind of on par with the Regal across the street.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, it's way worse.
If you're at the 34th Street, just go down to the Union Square, that Regal there. That's like
that's
similar
fine.
Experience.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
I'm not saying it's great.
So if you're at 34th Street, just go down 20 blocks and then east a bunch is
yeah,
the solution?
It's not that bad.
Why don't you just go down 8th Avenue to the Sinopolis? You're right
there.
Yeah,
the Sinopolis is actually
23rd Street.
Great, beautiful theater. Anyways.
Anyway,
movie theater recommendations.
Yeah, if you ever go to New York City,
that's true.
This episode. I arrived 15 minutes early, and being someone who was too poor to afford any other hobby aside from wasting his entire day watching films, I had nothing better to do. So just chose the best possible seat I could find and waited out. As the theater filled up, I ended up noticing there was a decent crowd. Soon enough, a lady came up to me and politely asked if I could move a seat so she and her boyfriend could get a spot. I obliged, ready to move. Until I noticed on the other side of me was a man holding a large parcel of stuff Was this the stuff that came out? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just took the seat and was ready to nudge myself into. In that moment, I froze. I realized what happened, and my mind, too polite to say anything, was left reaching for a response. You don't fucking move. Yeah. You got there so fucking early. You have the right to that goddamn seat.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is happening here?
It sounds like someone's like grabbing the seat he was supposed to move into.
Exactly. At the same time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's all kind of like I'm sitting here. This is probably a twofer. Like, oh, could you move down one so that we could sit together? And then as that happens, some big old fucker puts a parcel on the thing.
This exact thing happened to me one
time. Okay, yeah. That's why I didn't get up.
Yep. I didn't. I sat. I stayed.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's my seat.
Stood your ground.
Fuck you. There's a fat guy there now.
When I finally gathered words, I explained to the waiting lady what had happened. Her attitude quickly went from polite to annoyed as I was sandwiched between a lady whose demeanor told me that she usually got what she wanted and another guy who was as lost as I was in this scenario, since as soon as he realized what happened, he did not seem to understand her or my pleading if he could move. I again tried to explain to her that, you know, fuck explaining yourself.
Yeah, dude, sorry. That's it.
Yep. Just sit there.
Movie's about to start.
Yep.
Previews.
Was it a sold-out theater for Wanted? Was there no other seats?
Tried to, apparently, which is fucking nuts.
They said it was a decent crowd.
Insane.
So I tried to explain to her that there was no room unless someone moves, and she quickly replied, yes, someone.
Ugh.
As though hinting that I needed to get out of her perfect spot so they could both enjoy the film.
God, fuck you.
Show up early, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. As I continued...
Gotta say, Eric, this wouldn't happen with assigned seats, just an FYI.
Well, also, assigned seats happen when good men do nothing. for a big opening thing, I guess assigned seats do have their place.
Sure. Okay.
But I agree with your statement that if it's 1 p.m. on a Tuesday, you know, but the problem is sometimes, like, when I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was like 11 a.m. on a Tuesday, but it was a big movie and it was packed.
Yeah.
So not always does that work.
Well, I tend to be a person who's like, I might have like some OCD because I'm like, the movie's going to start. I got to get to the theater so super fucking early.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm there 45 minutes early no matter what.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I want a medal. Like pinned to my chest for doing that, and I should get the best seats because I got there early.
I mean, yeah, show up on time first of all. Reserve seats or no?
I'm sorry, assigned seating has given way to a level of madness I've not seen before. I saw Godzilla like the fucking fifth weekend of that movie. 25 minutes in, some guy comes on with a flashlight on his phone, trying to find his assigned seat in an empty theater.
Okay, all right, yeah,
that's a bit much.
I mean, they have. I just want the option. Yep. I just want, tell me which theaters don't have assigned seating. And I'll go there and you go to.
Right.
Well, you know, when you're buying it on like Fandango or whatever, you're either clicking your seat or you're not.
Oh, dude, I'm just showing up.
Oh, you just show it.
But then they do the click thing.
Wait, you're just buying your ticket in the theater lobby?
Yeah.
What is this, 1998? What the fuck is the matter with you?
They're not sold out. They're never sold out.
Do you have to like walk in through saloon doors as it's the Wild West? Because this is some crazy shit right here.
And then app.
And then you get the fucking like, here's the seating chart because we're going to a concert now. And then it's just like, okay, all right. Oh, fuck. I didn't realize that the purple thing was the screen. So now I'm fucked.
Oh, I see.
There's so many scenarios where it could all go awry.
You should probably just take your time and figure it out.
I should probably just never leave the house. as I continued reaching for some kind of solution, a kind woman in the back interrupted to say that there was space in the back. I just love now people are interjecting. Like, could you stop? The seat crisis was averted. I began.
Crisis. Seats taken. Seats taken. You can sit here if you want to.
But I don't want to. I want to sit here.
And then I was in a seat crisis again.
Little did I realize that if I gave up that cherished spot, I would have averted all things to come. I think it was about around the point where we're introduced to the League of Assassins, or maybe after the protagonist quit. But after I started hearing these long snorts between the actions, I turned and realized it was the man who sat next to me had fallen asleep.
Oh.
So it's not snores, it's snorts. The guy sleep snorting? Oh, yeah, that's a snort. You're right. That's where sleep happens. Just let you know. I had encountered homeless folk who sometimes hang out in the theater before, but I've never expected one to take a nap in the middle. Well, I don't know if this guy's homeless.
Yeah, he's just taking a nap.
You weren't there.
The
he was.
Expensive. The middle row during an action movie, so it took me some time to realize why he was carrying a large bundle into his seat. Despite this, I continued to watch the film under vague whiffs of his breath that came with each passing snore, and it that tainted everything I watched. I guess tainted everything I watched with the distinct smell of pickles. Well, I mean, this is wanted.
This is just get leave.
Yeah,
either go to that fucking seat that lady told you about, or get the fuck out of there because it's wanted, and who cares? Exactly. Fucking smelling pickles for 2 hours. It's your own fault.
That whole area smells like farts anyway.
It's just awful. It's an awful theater in an awful part of town. You're watching an awful movie next to an awful person.
Sometime later, I think that around the time the father-son fight happens, he began to wake up and pay attention to the movie, saving me from enjoying the film in pickle vision. I embraced the film, but then this loud grating noise kept stabbing my ears. Every scene of the film was... This is just the movie. It's just terrible.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Previous episode, by the way. Being treated with commentary from one of the viewers from behind me, laden with "yeah" and "kick his ass," and other expletives that felt like the laziest impersonation of a Call of Duty gamer in the 2000s made real.
Well, then it would have needed to come with a bunch of racial slurs thrown in too. If you're online gaming,
that's also true.
While this is nothing new to anyone, what made it especially painful was that the voice was scraping into puberty and had a range that reminded me of Steven's nerd impression.
Oh.
If he did it while rubbing balloons with his hands.
Yeah, impression.
Well, now I'm not going to do it. How about that?
Steve just has good recall.
At this point, I had lost any and all immersion in the film.
If that wasn't going to happen anyway, buddy.
The world of the movie.
I saw this in the theaters at the Kaufman Astoria Theater, and I could never get into the movie just because it was terrible.
Yes. So.
I saw it at the Village East, and I fell asleep.
Oh, shit. Yep. Did you bring your parcel with you?
Brought my pickle breath, dude.
So mindless action film that had become an endurance test to see if I could make it to the end of the film without running from the chalkboard scraping narration of a young edgelord in training sitting behind me. To this day, I have never encountered a movie experience as bad as this, and has, if anything, made me want to see more indie films and attempt to avoid crowds I saw that day. I will say, you say that, but you go to some of these indie movie theaters, you go to some of these retrospectives, you get the old, nasty, pickle breath New York people with the newspapers, the sandwiches from home.
Dude, I saw The Farewell, and I was like, oh, man, a beautiful, at the Cinépolis, actually. Uh-huh. And we saw it at like 3 p.m. on a Sunday. Forget about it.
Yeah, no, you can't
go to
the movies.
Night of the Living Dead in that fucking theater.
You can't go to the movies on a Sunday afternoon like that, man. You just can't do it.
You just have the time things. You see the big popular Hollywood movie Tuesday, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Just call out of work. And then you see the indie movie at like 10 p.m. on a Saturday.
Right, that's the movie when everybody goes to bed.
Go to bed.
Thank you for keeping my fiance and I laughing. I'll look forward to your future shows. If you ever do a live show in Vermont, I would be happy to catch you guys. And hopefully I won't have to move my seat for a cranky lady or a guy with pickle breath or puberty. Best, Don. Well, Don, you can avoid that by buying VIP tickets at select We Hate Movie shows. Now touring the West Coast, but I would like to go to Vermont.
We do not allow VIP tickets in Vermont. I've changed everything. It's not fair that certain people get to meet the artist and other people can't meet the artist. You got to wait around, pay extra money to meet a fat person with a fucking T-shirt on.
Assigned seating. No, general admission for all. General admission for all.
All he's going to do is spit water on you anyways. Right in your hard-working face.
VIP tickets are ready.
Well, I guess that's going to do it. I mean, do you guys have any stories about bad movie theater audiences?
I mean, we've told them 100 times.
Yeah. Nothing new.
I mean, as Chris Rock says in that one special, you go have some new shit happen to you. So we got to go out to the movies, have a bad experience, and then come back and tell everybody about it. I think is the move.
We want, actually, for next month, all your spooky stories.
Yes.
It's going to be October.
That's right. Spooky stories for the spooktacular.
Ghost stories, fake ghosts.
Bad costumes, the whole bit.
Bad costumes, the stuff that comes out when you do the...
Yeah. Also, if you're shitting yourself, that does well for us.
Yeah. We get a couple of those. It's been a while.
Yeah, we could do a sweeps episode of the mailbag, all shit stories. But that is the WHM mailbag for the month of September. Again, get those emails in, those weird, spooky stories. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.